In a state-run society, the government promises you security, but it is a false promise predicated on the idea that the opposite of security is risk. Nothing could be further from the truth. The opposite of security is insecurity, and the only way to overcome insecurity is to take risks. The gentle government that promises to hold your hand as you cross the street refuses to let go on the other side. And this week's opening quote comes from Theodore Forstmann. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, what an interesting week, folks. I don't think anybody really saw that coming, that Donald Trump would be elected. I thought it might be a possibility, but I wasn't sure that they would actually let it happen. But as said in the opening quote, the only way to really get security is to take risks. And when you look at the world today, well, it seems that the people of America are prepared to take risks in order to regain some of the security that they've lost, because the security that they've lost has been lost at the hands of their government, not through terrorism or anything like that, but simply by the government removing their rights and by forcing them into economic slavery. And so we've seen the people of America speak out and decide that it's time to take a few risks. It certainly has seemed to have upset quite a few people, and it's anybody's guess as to what the world is going to look like in the next few years. Be really interesting to see what unfolds in the next few months, folks. Of course, we do still have a few months before the current inhabitants of the White House relinquish their post, so anything could happen between now and then. But it is very interesting. It's been interesting to see the reaction from the media as well. The media was obviously really banking on Hillary Clinton getting in. I just don't think there was enough way they could have scammed it, though, folks. I think that the landslide was too obvious for even the powers that believe they be to be able to control the outcome the way they normally do. So it'd be very interesting to see where it's going to go. And really, folks, when you think about it, it had to happen. Even if it wasn't Trump, it had to be someone like Trump. I mean, that's really why Trump got in, because Trump was just so different to anything that the establishment had to offer. Hillary was so obviously a warmonger and so obviously part of the whole Goldman Sachs war on terror team that anybody could see that she was not the best choice to have. And for the amount of hardship that the people on the ground in the United States have had to suffer at the hands of their government, it's no surprise really that someone like Trump got voted in. It had to be Trump. It had to be someone like Trump anyway. And if it wasn't Donald Trump, it would have been someone else. But it's really not a surprise to see that someone who is anti-establishment is the one that the people chose. The real surprise for me is that he was able to get away with it, but I would suggest, as I said earlier, that was because the landslide was simply too great for them to cover it up. I mean, there was so much reporting coming out about the flipping of votes and the way voting machines were rigged. There were so many people that were expecting it to be rigged and were expecting Hillary to be placed in power when Trump was the obvious favorite, that I think there probably could have even been a revolution if Hillary was announced as the victor. But it's certainly going to be interesting to see what sort of a president Donald Trump turns out to be. Of course, on the other side of that, we're seeing huge protests mounted because Trump is the victor, but it is very apparent that these protests have been mounted and funded by George Soros, and that all of this is very contrived. I don't think there are nearly as many people protesting against Trump as what they would have us believe. It's very easy to simply get a rent-a-crowd to get out there and get some creative camera work happening, and you can make a crowd look a lot bigger than what it is. And of course, when these crowds are so well organized as what we're seeing, with big slogans and banners and all sorts of things, of course, these crowds are being funded. And it's well known that George Soros had intended to do this. And how do we judge the worth of Donald Trump? Is he really a private citizen who has actually managed to get to the big chair, or is he really part of the whole control grid and rubbing shoulders with all the wrong people? I mean, we know he rubs shoulders with the wrong people, but is he really an independent, or is he really part of the big club? That's the question. And I think we'd be able to look at this and see if he does a few things, such as perhaps launch a new investigation into the 9/11 attacks. That would give him a little bit of worth. Will he withdraw funding from the rogue state of Israel and stop all foreign lobbyists the way he said? That would be a good sign. Will he prosecute Hillary Clinton for her crimes? It doesn't appear that he is going to. He did congratulate her for a hard-fought campaign in his speech, and he did thank her for the contribution that she's made to the country. I'm wondering what that contribution would be if it wasn't perhaps murder, child trafficking, weapons sales to terrorists or illegal wars. I mean, I'm really wondering what sort of a contribution it is that she's made. But Donald Trump's acceptance speech was certainly anything but inspirational and anything but confidence-inspiring. Personally, I think his presidency will probably be something of a disaster, or there's a chance that he may even get assassinated if he is one of the good guys. But I don't know. I really don't know where this is going to go. It's kind of a wild card, folks. So it's kind of interesting to see the world in the state that it's in. Of course, a war with Russia seems to have been put on the back burner because we didn't get Hillary in the chair. I mean, of course, if Hillary had gone to the chair, the world would be immersed into war almost immediately. One thing that is good about this entire election is that Hillary Clinton did not get elected. Hillary Clinton is truly one of the most dangerous people on earth who should be in jail. I mean, she should have been jailed or hung many years ago for her crimes, and the fact that she was even allowed to run for office shows what a true farce the US political system is. But I think the next few months will be very interesting to watch, and I think the first few months of Trump's presidency will be where the truth is finally revealed about what the man's true intentions really are. I think we're going to find out very quickly, folks. Once he takes the big chair, all it will take, as I said, will be to see whether a new investigation is launched into 9/11. I mean, that would be a pretty fair indication of the man's honesty, but I'd really wonder whether we're going to see that, and if something like that is announced, whether we're going to see some type of Kennedy-style assassination carried out against the man. Nothing would surprise me at this point. I mean, it's all a puppet show, folks. It's all belief. It's all belief systems, the whole thing. It's all energy harvesting. And it's certainly been interesting to see the media response and the backlash and the wave of horror that has overtaken so many people. But again, folks, it's all about energy and it's all about control. I don't know if any real change will come from Donald Trump's presidency, but it has the potential to bring about change. I mean, really, it is America saying that they've had enough of the established order and they want something different. I mean, we had to expect this to happen. As I said, if it wasn't Trump, it would have been somebody else. But I don't know what real change will come out of it. As I said, there is a potential for real change, but we'll just have to wait and see. But like I said, the big clinchers will be seeing whether he launches a new investigation into 9/11 and whether he continues to fund the rogue state of Israel, because he has a opportunity to free Palestine should he wish to act in a humane way. He has the opportunity to stop all of the covert invasions that the United States is involved in around the world and to bring the troops home. Bring the troops home from Iraq. Bring them home from Afghanistan. Stop supporting the fake war of terror. Stop supporting the covert invasion of Syria. He has the opportunity to do all of this. He has the opportunity to reshape the United Nations. He has the opportunity to do a lot of things. And so this will be a very, very interesting presidency, to say the least. And you've got to look at it this way as well. I mean, perhaps it was a good opportunity putting Trump in place. Perhaps it's a good opportunity to be able to pull the troops out of these places, since America is really suffering amazing defeats in Iraq and in Syria. I mean, these wars have been going on for so long, and they're really not making any progress with their little private terrorist army that they're trying to use, because they can't go in there openly as America and just bomb the place to oblivion, because it's a covert invasion. People don't really know it's an invasion. They think it's a popular uprising, but it's not. So perhaps Trump was actually put in place to help America save face in that regard. I mean, you've got to consider that a possibility. Whether it's real or not, I don't know, but you've got to consider it a possibility. One really must question how much of a player he is, whether he really believes that president is the top job and that he can really reshape the country the way he's planning on doing. I mean, that will be an interesting thing to see, whether he gets away with what he wants to do, because what's he going to do when he finds out that there's 10 or 12 levels of top secret above the level of president? I mean, this is just absurd, really, when you think about it, folks. The alphabet agencies have control and more knowledge of things than the president does. So how can the president ever make any real decisions? So it's going to be interesting to see how Donald Trump reacts to his job. whether he is naive enough to believe that it is actually the top job, and whether he's naive enough to believe that he can just make these sweeping changes that he wants to make. Because I think if he does, he's going to find that there's an enormous amount of backlash. Time will tell, and we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, the whole thing's a puppet show, and we're really going to have to wait until the dust settles and see what sort of actions begin to be undertaken before we're going to really know what sort of a man we really have in place in the big chair in the United States. The thing is, though, folks, that the president doesn't run the United States. The United States is not run by the political system. The political system and the president is just the mouthpiece, really. The United States is run by the Federal Reserve. It's run by the CFR and the military-industrial complex. It's run by Raytheon, by Lockheed Martin. It's run by the whole Jesuit system. It's run by corporate interests. And the political system is really just a puppet show that sits at the front of it. So it truly is going to be interesting to see how things play out in the next few years and even in the next few months. I tell you, what has really been amazing through the whole thing is seeing the protests in the streets, people in tears that Hillary Clinton wasn't elected. I mean, I know that many of these protests are funded and staged, but still seeing the faces of some of the people in the crowd almost defies analysis. It's just mind-boggling that people cannot see this woman as the embodiment of evil that she is. I mean, she truly is one of the most dangerous women on the planet. She's destroyed country after country. She has the blood of quite literally millions of people on her hands. She's a career criminal. Her whole career, the entire Clinton family career, has been plagued with scandal for over 40 years. Everybody who comes into contact with them, who says anything bad about them, suddenly seems to die. Bill Clinton has been implicated in sex scandal after sex scandal and drug trafficking and all sorts of things. Hillary Clinton, the entire Clinton Foundation, actually receives most of its funding from Saudi Arabia, and the Clinton Foundation funnels money into Saudi Arabia, which is used to supply arms to terrorist organizations such as ISIS and Al-Qaeda and our News for Front. When I remember this woman cackling with glee as Gaddafi was anally raped with a sword live on television, and how her election platform was one of pro-war with Russia, pro-war with Iran, pro-war with Syria, pro-war with everybody, and you look and see how she is funded and financed by 8 of the 10 largest arms manufacturers on earth, people are seriously upset that this psychopath did not get placed in power. I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling, folks, how anybody could think that she is any choice for president when the woman should be in jail. She should have been arrested and jailed or hung for her crimes many years ago. How anybody could see this as a viable candidate for president is just mind-boggling. And how anybody could be protesting in the streets upset because Donald Trump was elected when the candidate he was running against was Hillary Clinton is literally mind-boggling, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, of course, Trump is he's a wild card. He's an absolute wild card. He's a narcissist. He's an egomaniac. He's not the person that you'd want to have running the United States, but he's better than Hillary Clinton. I mean, any garden variety thief would be better than Hillary Clinton. You could get a pickpocket from the Bronx and put them in place, and they would be better than Hillary Clinton. Personally, folks, I have to say that I'm delighted with the election result. I really am. Not that I like Trump, but he's a wild card. And I've been able to look at the whole political system, and it's been so predictable for so many years. We've seen this whole New World Order system unfolding before us, and we can tell who the players are. We can see who funds them. We can watch them get put in place, and we can watch the steps go slowly forward. But now Donald Trump has been put in place, it's really anybody's guess as to which way things are going to go. And for the first time in many years, I simply can't predict the future. I don't know what move he's going to make. It's going to take watching him for a little while and observing his actions, maybe seeing what he does during his first 100 days, see if he comes through with all of those promises he made, to really know what this man's about. And this has been kind of interesting, folks. It's nice to be able to actually sit back and watch the show and to be not in a position where I know what's going to happen next. That's very refreshing. And I'm sure that a lot of other researchers are having the same feeling. It's quite refreshing to see a wild card come into play. the thing is that Trump has no political history. He's never been a governor or a mayor or anything like that. He hasn't had anything to do with politics at all. He's simply a businessman, and yet now he's the president of the United States, so it's going to be very interesting. There is, of course, also the very real danger that Trump is a player and that this is simply all part of the plan and that it's going to be a lot easier to introduce a fascist state under the guise of escaping from a fascist system. So you've really got to look at how things are being played, folks, and it's going to be very, very interesting to watch the first few months of the Trump presidency because I think a lot of things are going to be revealed in that first initial period when he takes the big chair. All the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen. Even though wild cards come into play, all the world is a stage. It's interesting how a lot of people are seeing Trump's policies as being racist as well. The whole put America first policy that he is promoting. Really, when you look at this, it's not racist at all. What he's saying is that he believes that he should be looking after that country and that they should be spending their money looking after America rather than going and waging all these wars and doing all these loans to all these countries who are really not worthy of these loans. And admittedly, this is all a grey area because there's countries that America has gone in and bombed that they need to fix up. And it's also got this no Muslim immigrants and all of this sort of weird programming going on as well. Perhaps that was just for votes. Perhaps that was just rhetoric. Perhaps he really means it. Perhaps he's uneducated on what the war on terror really is. We will have to wait and find out. But really, when you look at his policies, what he was saying is not really racist. What he was saying is that he wants to put America first. And it's a whole different way of looking at the world. It's actually a way of friendship, the way he's looking at it. If you really look at what he's saying he would like to be friends with all of these nations and have everybody get along. You see, something about US foreign policy is that it has always functioned on the predication that there must be an enemy. You must have a common enemy in order to unite your people. You know, if America wasn't facing a threat from Russia or a threat from Islam or a threat from China or something, then the country would fall apart. There would be no reason for leadership. See, that's why you need leadership, because you're under threat. That's why you need government, because there is an external threat that you need government to protect you from. But all of these threats are manufactured. They're all non-existent. If you go traveling around the world and go to various countries, you don't meet anybody anywhere who wants to go and invade you or wants to have a war. It's only the governments that run these countries that cook up these conflicts with other countries to make it appear to the people of their nation that there is a threat against them, because this unites the people under the umbrella of their government, who will protect them by bringing in more laws to keep them safe. The whole thing's a scam, folks. And with Trump's attitude, if he does approach things and approach other countries in a friendly manner, start pulling military bases out of all these other countries, start actually creating diplomatic ties and diplomatic relationships with these countries, you might find that we actually enter into an era of peace. He has the potential to do this. And so that's something else that we need to look at. You know, the whole concept that there is an enemy is the manufactured concept that we've been presented. That's the problem. And it is manufactured. Because there isn't a common enemy. As I said, it's just governments colluding with each other to make it appear that there is a threat so that the people will allow the government to control them a little bit more. That's how it goes, folks. Hegelian dialectic. Look at books such as 1984, the old book by George Orwell, when he spoke about the fact that there's always these nations that are in conflict with each other, and it keeps changing. There was three big nations in 1984. The world was split into three different zones, and two of these nations were always allies and one was always at war with the other two, but the ones they were allied with kept changing, so there was always two nations at war with the other one. But it was all manufactured. It wasn't really necessary at all, and it was all done to appease the people and to give the people a common focal point, something that they could commonly hate. They used to go in and have their 2 minutes hate every day, where they would show the opposing country they were at war at, and they would observe the people and see who wasn't hating them enough. And this is how it's done, folks. This is all about mind control. This whole concept that there is a global enemy, this whole concept that we must have war, we must have conflict, is all mind control. And the Trump presidency has a potential to circumvent that. It has a potential to actually teach the people how to think again and help them see a little clearly. I mean, if he is a real man and he is a real man of the people the way he says, then he has the potential to simply talk to the people and to re-educate them and to refocus their perspective on what reality really is. Of course, if he was to attempt to do this, there is a good chance that he will get assassinated. You've got agencies like the CIA who desperately want to maintain the status quo, and the status quo is all about control. That's what all of this is about, folks. It's a big chess game to see who ultimately gets to the top of the pile and he gets to control everybody else. But what the people of the world are really waking up to is the fact that we don't need to be controlled by anybody. And this whole Trump presidency, I think, is a godsend. I really do. I think it's a fantastic result, because even if it causes the system to completely fall apart, well, that's a good thing. But whatever happens, maybe it will expose to the people of the world what a farce this entire mess really is, and how much we need to rediscover ourselves and step above the whole thing. And it's just a new era, folks. It's a new path for us to take. We are certainly at a crossroads in history, and it's anybody's guess as to which way we're going to go. Like I said, it's going to be very interesting to observe the first few months of the Trump presidency. Of course, one of the big problems with the Trump presidency will naturally be the fact that Mr. Trump is a businessman, and he believes that business is what runs the world, and it's really all about jobs, and it's all about people making money and blah, 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 rebuilding the infrastructure, all the stuff he wants to do to get the people working again, which has its good side and it also has its bad side, because you've got to look at the economic system and you've got to heal that, because the economic system in its current form simply provides scarcity. That's all it does. It's a system of debt slavery which doesn't give an opportunity for anybody to prosper unless they do so at the expense of somebody else. That's what capitalism is all about, folks. Capitalism is about exploitation, really, more than anything. You know, we don't need to be continuing to support this economic model that's based in permanent growth. We don't need permanent growth. All we need is currency, something to pass around to each other in order to be able to trade with each other, some medium of trade. That's all we need. You don't even have to call it currency. Call it whatever you want. It's just some sort of a medium of trade. That's all we need money for, so that we don't have to carry around our bags of produce or whatever it is that we want to trade. We can just use coins or precious metals or stones or whatever. That's all money is. It should just be something that helps us function more efficiently. But at the moment it isn't. At the moment it's a system of debt slavery that provides scarcity and puts everybody in a position where they have to work. They have to have a job doing something they don't like doing, which is usually destroying the planet or building stuff that we really don't need, just to have this income so they can have access to the abundance that is all around them. And we need to really look at that and reshape that into something a little bit more intelligent, something a little bit more workable, something that's going to empower people rather than enslave people. So he really needs to look at stuff like that. And the fact that he's a businessman, he's a corporate executive, this is a little bit of a worry, because that's the way his mind works. But again, it's going to depend on how much of a player he is and how much of he has any type of spiritual understandings of the world, how spiritually awake he is, how much of a soul does the man have. I mean, this is the side of Donald Trump that we don't see. I've never heard Donald Trump have any philosophical conversations. It'd be interesting to hear him have one, to hear what his perspective and views on life is. But it's going to depend on all sorts of circumstances and what the man's true character is, on what he will do as President of the United States. There's a lot of contributing factors here to consider. And it's an interesting way to look at it, folks. I mean, you don't look at Donald Trump, a man who sleeps in a gold bed in a golden room and is now President of the United States. You don't kind of look at this man as having a spiritual side, and you kind of wonder whether he does. It's not a side of him that you kind of consider. So it'll be interesting to hear what his real views are. It'd be interesting to know the man. And he's actually kind of a president you almost feel you could get to know. If you saw him in the street, you could actually say hi to him and he'd actually say hi back. Interesting character, and definitely a wild card. Player or not, we will just have to wait and see how things unfold. it's going to be very interesting to see how the media plays all this as well. I mean, something Trump should do is ungag and free the media back to what it used to be, because this is really going to be a trial by media with Mr. Trump as well. The media will vilify him all that they can simply because the media is controlled and it's funded by Zionists. It's funded by external interests, which don't really have the objective of informing the people with what it's presented to them. It has the objective of controlling what the people think and controlling the flow of information to the people. And Trump has the potential and the ability to actually free that, to remove some of the orders, executive orders and gagging orders and laws that have been put in place to gag the media as it has been so effectively, to be able to free the media up to the point that it could actually indulge in real journalism and report the truth to the people and do so with the immunity that it needs, then this would be a very good thing. It'd be interesting to see if he does something like that. And in fact, it would be to his benefit to do something like that, because as I said, we're very much going to see a trial by media throughout his presidency. And the real danger, of course, is that something may happen before Trump is inaugurated, before the ceremony takes place, because we still have 3 months to go before this man is due to take the big chair. And anything could happen in the next 3 months, especially if it becomes apparent that Trump is going to do things like launch a new investigation into 9/11. We may well see that the global tensions suddenly escalate, or that there is some type of a event, such as a terrorist attack, that is staged in the United States in the meanwhile. Though it would be hard for them to get away with it, because it would be quite obvious to many people that it's been done simply to keep Obama in place and to ensure that Trump does not take the big chair. So we'll just have to wait and see how things play out, folks. But I think we've reached break time here, so I'll leave it there and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so it would be really good if something happened to ungag the media. Of course, there are many persons in the media who would very likely be charged with crimes were this to happen as well, because even though people have been subject to gagging orders, there are people in the media who have been presenting blatant disinformation to people. And regardless of gagging orders, I mean, this is the media. You should just speak your mind and speak the truth anyway. You know, and the media has been so complicit in supporting this war on terror and so complicit in covering up the facts from the people that it is very hard to know where to draw the line with these people. It's hard to know who to grant immunity from prosecution to, because there are so many people within the mainstream media who have done so much damage and been so effective in their contribution to war crimes and human rights abuses, simply in their failure to remain unbiased in their reporting, and in some cases, as I said, report blatant disinformation. So this is an interesting area, and it's something that needs to be looked at, because we need to free the media and we need to see how complicit the media has been in promoting these crimes and allowing the world situation to deteriorate to the point that it has. I mean, these are important things to look at, folks. They really are important issues. You know, without a true and functional media, an honest media and an unbiased media, the people of the world can never really be truly informed, and so they can never make informed decisions. So they've always got to trust blindly and follow blindly where they're led, and this is simply not acceptable. Something else that we're going to have to really look at carefully is who is going to be in Trump's cabinet. Is it going to be people that we already know? Is it going to be people that have a track record of working hand-in-hand with these corporate interests, a track record of working with lobbyists and working with Goldman Sachs and supporting the Federal Reserve and supporting Israel? Who's he going to get in? Is he going to reshuffle everything and bring in people from his own business world? What's he going to do here? What are we going to see from agencies such as the CIA, organizations such as the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission? What is going to happen with Trump's relationship with these organizations? Because this is who really runs the United States. The United States is run by corporations. It's run by the CFR. It's run by the Trilateral Commission. It's run by a huge mechanism of self-defense and war and business. And it's anybody's guess as to whether Trump is going to be able to have any real influence over this. And it's going to be interesting to see how well this network is able to undermine anything Trump wants to put through. Trump is talking about abolishing all sorts of executive orders that have caused so much damage and loss of rights in the past, but he might find that the only way to deal with these organizations that seek to undermine him will be through executive orders as well. It's going to be a really interesting game to watch, folks. I'm really looking forward to the whole theatrics of the whole thing, to be honest. Another interesting thing is because of the threat to the system that the Trump presidency poses, we may well see some sort of an event that happens between now and the inauguration. It really wouldn't surprise me if we see this because the rats must be really running scared and finding a way to get off the sinking ship as quickly as they can. And of course, the best way to do that is going to be to create as much instability as they can in order to detract from the real issues. Now, it's all about, as I said, folks, making the people believe that they need the government that is there now. They need this government in place to keep them safe. And so in order to do this, they stage their own terror attacks so that the people will look to them for protection and guidance. It's classic racketeering, folks. That's all governments are running, is a big protection and extortion racket. The theme that they use to carry out these terror attacks is typically Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, or problem, reaction, solution. And it's very likely that if we see Trump making any real headway, that the shadow government that exists in the United States, those who really run things, the alphabet agencies and those who work behind them, the people who control the financial and corporate and war interests, may well stage terror attacks around the United States simply to undermine Trump's viability and to undermine his credibility. Oh my God, look what's happened. Now that we've got this guy in place, all of these people are starting to blow things up everywhere, and things are really bad for the United States. We need to introduce a real government, and we need to up the laws and up the ante to get all of these terrorists out of the country. It could well be played this way as well. I mean, it really is a wild card that has come into play, folks, and it's anybody's guess as to how things are going to unfold in the next few months, next 6 months, the next year. I mean, who knows? It may all be good. It may be a wonderful time and usher in a new era for humanity. But of course, you've really got to look at things realistically. And there are many, many forces at play here, many of them that are working behind the scenes. And so it really is an open option as to where we're going to go. It depends on how desperate the rats who are running things get and to how dangerous Trump becomes for them. If indeed he is intending to pose any real threat to them at all, and if indeed this is not all simply a continuation of the wonderful theater for the masses that we've been subject to for so long. I mean, there was talk that Trump was simply put there to ensure Hillary was going to win, and I even thought that this may well be the case, that he was simply shilling for Hillary, that when it came down to the wire, nobody was actually going to vote for that hairdo and it would ensure Hillary Clinton came to office. But it really is a huge shake-up for the system. It really is. It must have really shocked the Democrats. It must have shocked so many politicians, so many heads of business and so many media executives that this man has managed to make it to the president's chair. It's a really big shake-up. I mean, it's the biggest shake-up we've seen since Kennedy, perhaps even bigger than any shake-up that we saw with Kennedy, because Kennedy wasn't really publicized until after his assassination. It wasn't really made public, some of the things that he had in mind, some of the things he wanted to do, some of the things he was dealing with, such as Operation Northwoods and wanting to abolish the Federal Reserve, wanting to abolish the CIA, all sorts of things he wanted to do. But Trump is far more public. He's globally known. This is a household name. It's a well-known face. So it's going to be a lot more difficult to take this man out in any sort of a viable way, any way that isn't going to make it known that he was taken out by the system. I mean, sure, they can stage these protests and they can say, oh, look, it was an angry protester who is holding a "not my president" sign. But I think even if they attempt to do this, people are going to know that actually it was the Clinton group, it was the Democrats, it was Soros, it was the World Bank, it was the International Monetary Fund, it was all of the powers that believe they be who are actually the ones who are responsible for this man's death, if it happens that way. But it really is a huge shake-up for the system, and it has the potential to go either way. That's why I'm finding it so fascinating, and I'm so delighted with the result that we've seen in this US election. You know, ultimately, this whole thing is a spiritual test. And if Trump really is just one of the people who has managed to make himself a multi-squillionaire through his life, then it could be the best thing that's ever happened to the United States. It could actually usher in a new era of friendship between nations, and it could really be beneficial. You know, we might actually find that we can move forward in a peaceful way from this point. Because like I said, all the conflict is manufactured. This whole policy that we need an enemy is simply the way the neocon system works. They just can't do it without an enemy because it's the enemy that provides the need for the people to even want government or believe that they need government. You know, having an enemy is what enables government to get progressively larger and bring in more and more totalitarian laws. Without an enemy, the government can't do that. And so the government manufactures these enemies, and each government wants to do it. They all want to control their people a little bit more, so they pretend that they hate each other. But it's all just theater for the masses. And then if the governments do want to go to war with each other, well, what do? They go and bomb the hell out of the people, and the people had nothing to do with it. But the policy is that if we destroy enough people, they will get annoyed with their government enough for not surrendering that they will go and take the government out themselves. There'll be a popular revolution. That's why they do it. That's what they're doing to Syria. They're bombing the hell out of Syria in the hope that the people will realize that the West isn't going to stop bombing them, and these terrorists are not going to stop rampaging through their country until Assad is gone. And so they will go and take their own president out. That's how they do it. And they call it a popular uprising. It isn't, folks. It's a contrived coup. It's a covert invasion. And that's the way they've played all of these wars. But we have a possibility of circumventing all that with the Trump presidency. I mean, if he can really look at all this and start being honest about it and really apply himself to the situation and start calling things for what they are, he has the potential to pull it off because he has the public profile to pull it off. The real danger, of course, as I said, is a stray bullet coming from a high rise somewhere. And if that does happen, folks, no, it won't be a random citizen who is annoyed with Trump who will be arrested and have three names and be charged accordingly before being shot on the way to court or whatever. It will be someone from the CIA or the NSA or Mossad who sees this man as a real threat and has staged this assassination. They're all staged, folks. None of these assassinations, these government assassinations, are ever by the killers that we're told performed them. They're all staged. It's like when you look at the Kennedy assassination, there's no way Lee Harvey Oswald carried out that assassination. Lee Harvey Oswald actually worked for the FBI, so the whole thing was very, very well staged. If there is some type of similar event that happens with Trump, you can rest assured that it will be done by the same people. It's great to see the way it's affected other nations as well. I mean, everybody can see that this is going to be a very, very different US administration if Donald Trump actually does get inaugurated and come to power. Again, that's an if, because we have a few months before that's going to happen, and anything could happen in those few months. But it's been interesting to see the reaction from the Australian Prime Minister and from the British Prime Minister, all who are worried about their continued relations with the United States from this point. So they're all trying to play the fear card as well. Of course, the British Prime Minister, Theresa May, is an absolute psychopathic cow who just wants to have war with everybody, enjoys bombing children in Syria. And of course, so does the Prime Minister of Australia, who is an ex-investment banker, an open Zionist, and is currently bombing children in Syria and providing air support for ISIS and our Nusra Front terrorists by its support for the US covert invasion of that country. You can also see there might be strained relations with countries such as Saudi Arabia, which would be really good to see, because Saudi Arabia is an absolutely abhorrent regime. Saudi Arabia is probably the most anti-human regime on the entire earth. It simply is. I mean, that's the only way it can be described. You've got a ruling family, which is a Zionist puppet family, which capitulates to Israel at every breath and is carrying out some of the worst human rights abuses and atrocities on the earth. You might see that Trump stops supporting this nation. Of course, there's also the business side of things, the oil side of things, the fact that it is such a rich nation, which is how it is able to affect the United States so much and to affect the United Nations so much. But you might see some honesty coming forth in regard to these nations, and that would be a good thing as well. I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities that could come from this. A lot of it, of course, is going to depend, as I said, on Trump's naivete, whether he really believes he has the power that he believes he has. as president, and how he is going to react when he finds out that he doesn't. Will he start making speeches to say the office of president is being used to undermine the position of the people of the United States, such as Kennedy made? Will he take steps to remove the power that the Federal Reserve holds over the people, remove the power that corporations and corporate interests hold over the people, remove the power that the war machine holds over the entire world? There's ways he can do it. There are ways it can be done. And many people want this to be done. And there is a real possibility of this, folks, because there's so many governments outside the United States who can see the corruption for what it is. You know, those who look at the United States from outside can see it. Of course, there's many who capitulate to it. There's many who are complicit in it. There's regimes such as the government of Germany, regimes such as the government of England, the government of Ireland, the government of Australia. There are many governments that are in on this scam, that are in on this whole slavery system, but there are many governments that aren't. There are many governments that can see it for what it is and that have been desperately hoping for the people of the United States to wake up to themselves and to do something about it, because ultimately that's the only people who can stop the war machine of the United States, is the people of the United States. This is the way they can do it, too, through voting for people such as Donald Trump, by voting for someone who's completely out of left field who may actually make some changes. I mean, I know it's a long shot, but that's really the only way it's going to come, and because that's the only place change can come from. It's got to come from the people. And the only people who can change the government of the United States and change what the government of the United States does is the people of the United States. We can't do it from here in Australia. They can't do it from Russia. They can't do it from the Philippines. The only people who can affect their governments are them. And the only people who can affect the US government and its actions are the people of the United States. And even though the United States is ultimately run by Israel, it's ultimately run by Zionist influences and by corporate banking interests that exist offshore that control the United States externally, all of this control can still be circumvented and undermined by the people if they were to take control of their nation again. And that could be what's happening now. It's a long shot, but it could be what's happening. It's a very, very dangerous time, though, because if that is what's happening, then there are going to be many, many forces that are going to attempt to stop this from happening and to prevent any real change from taking place. So it's an extremely volatile time in America's history and indeed global history. And the next 3 months are going to be very, very revealing. Another scenario, and it's something that's interesting to look at, is that this all could be a big distraction. I mean, by promoting the entire America First concept, I mean, Americans have a very Amerocentric attitude anyway. They tend to view everything from an American perspective. They don't put America on the global stage as an equal country with everything else. It's always about America. And it's a very Amerocentric way of looking at things. Even with the war on terror, this is seen from a very Amerocentric perspective if you're an American. And Trump, by putting all of this focus on America First and rebuilding the infrastructure of America, getting everybody working, suddenly you get everybody distracted on building the garden and building the house and working in their own backyard and building things up around them, and they're not really paying attention to what's going on in the world around them. And the world around them has been very much destabilized by the United States, and it's controlled by globalist interests, and it's about to be taken to the next level, and the only people who can stop that are the people of the United States. And if they're all distracted and working hard and rallying behind someone whom they perceive to be a leader rather than leading themselves and working to build up their own personal lives and believing it's all about the accumulation of personal wealth at home, then it may be that these people are simply not paying attention to what's going on in the world around them. And all the stuff they're building, I mean, rebuilding all this infrastructure and stuff, it's all really good, great idea, but why not address the monetary system that's created all the scarcity? And when you build the infrastructure, build it to last. Build stuff that is going to be there forever so it frees up the time of the people. You know, this whole focus on the people needing jobs, or the people only need jobs because of this financial system and this system of scarcity. What if we made everything to last and we got to a situation where people only needed to work 1 or 2 days a week, and that was to supply what they needed for their entire family for the week, and then they were free to do what they wanted to do, to philosophize or to travel or to share their life with their neighbors. You know, there's all sorts of things we could be doing rather than working. So there is a real danger as well with the focus on work. That's what I was saying earlier in the show when I said getting everybody to work, this is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. It's a good thing for people who need money, but it's a bad thing because it supports the system so much, and it is the system itself which requires people to work to support it. And really, it's all about turnover. It's all about keeping people occupied so that they are not free to discover themselves. Personally, I think people need more free time. They need to be able to discover themselves. People do not want to be spending their lives working in the accumulation of stuff. I mean, we don't all need a gold bed and a gold bedroom. We don't all need to have squillions and trillions of dollars in the bank. All we need is a nice roof over our heads that doesn't leak and a comfortable place with our family, a place to share good times with the ones that we love. That's all people really need. You know, and people could support themselves and they could live in a state of abundance if they were allowed to. Is this going to change? Are these things going to be addressed? That is the real question. But there is a real possibility that most of this is a distraction. There's a real possibility that all of this is a play. And there's a real possibility that we're just going to get more of the same. Again, we're just going to have to wait and see. Personally, I like to try to look at the bright side and hope that Trump will actually make a difference, hope that he is at least something towards what he has portrayed himself to be. Hopefully, he will be able to make the differences that he wants to make. Hopefully, he won't be taken out by doing so, and hopefully the people will support him. But it is such a big picture, and there's so much of it that doesn't seem to be looked at the moment. I mean, there's so much going on behind the scenes that is not being addressed. There's so many issues that do need addressing. The clincher, of course, at the moment, I believe, is stopping this war on terror. So 9/11 needs to be a focus. And the neocon system that created the war on terror and carried out the 9/11 attacks and the undue influence that Israel has over world affairs, all these things need to be addressed. If these matters were addressed, that would go a long way to creating a viable and far more free future than the one we are currently facing. Although the future we are facing now does seem a little bit brighter simply because of the fact that the Clintons have been removed from the future that we are now facing. The Clintons are apparently going to now disappear from public life. This is very much expected that Hillary Clinton would do this if defeated because her ego is so enormous that she would have really lost a lot of face by her utter defeat in this election. She really did expect that this was her moment. She couldn't even conceive of the concept that people would not vote for her. That's just how huge her ego is. And it was really wonderful to see her utterly obliterated in this election. And it is wonderful that the Clintons have chosen to disappear from public life. There is, of course, the danger that they will continue their underhanded dealings, their arms trading, and their funding of terrorism, and their funding of rogue regimes, such as the Saudi Arabian regime, while the public is not looking. And so it is to be hoped that there will be an investigation into the Clinton Foundation, most especially into the dealings of Hillary Clinton. This woman really does have so much blood on her hands, and it would be wonderful to see her prosecuted. It would give some light to the international legal system. It would give some light to the American justice system. It would give some confidence to the people to know that people can actually make a difference and that we can get to some of the bad people. There's a very good chance that Obama is going to pardon Hillary Clinton before he leaves office. This may be one of his parting gestures, but it is hoped that even if he does that, Trump will overturn that pardon because this woman does not deserve to be pardoned. This woman needs to be investigated and all of her dealings need to be made public. The same goes for her husband. The same goes for the Bush family. The same goes for the many families that were involved in the 9/11 attacks. The same goes for Larry Silverstein. The same goes for the Federal Reserve Bank, which absolutely needs to be audited. And there are so many things really that need to be looked at. But it is a really good thing that the Clintons have decided to disappear from public life because that means they cannot any more affect our future. You won't see Hillary Clinton there encouraging the invasion of other nations. You won't see things like SEAL Team 6. You won't see things like Benghazi. You won't see situations such as world leaders being anally raped on television with Hillary Clinton cackling in the background saying, "We came, we saw, he died." That is truly the mentality of this woman, and her main goal as president would have been to gather up your sons and daughters and send them off to foreign countries to kill other people's sons and daughters. That's what her main goal is. It was about war. It was about weapons manufacture. It was about promoting instability, promoting global control, and locking down the entire human race into a global police state. They really want to do this, folks, and there are so many countries that are colluding to make it happen. At least by Trump getting in power, we've seen a stick shoved in the spokes of the wheel. Even if he is a player, I don't think he's going to play by their rules that much. I don't think things are going to go the way they want them to go from this point. And I think this has been a huge turnaround for mankind, and it gives us an opportunity to regroup if we play our cards right. Again, it's a very dangerous time. It's a very volatile time to be in because the next 3 months are going to be very, very revealing. And so will be the first 3 months or the first 6 months of the Trump presidency. It's all going to be a very, very revealing time. I think there are wonderful things on the horizon, but I think it may get a little darker yet before the dawn. So just watch out, folks. Just have a safe place to be. Just have a bit of a support group around you and don't pay attention to the crowd mentality. Don't go with the flow of the general public when they want to go to their riots and go into their fear mode. Just step back and realize that all the world is a stage and this is all theater for the masses. It has to get dark before the dawn. We have to have some sort of a collapse. We have to have some sort of a situation where things come to a head before we're going to see any light, before we're going to ever really be able to claw our way out of this mess. Things have to collapse so we can build it anew. We may be able to salvage some of what's left, but really we can't continue on with the system that we've got and think that we can make changes from within it, because we can't. We've been trying it for years and we've seen how dysfunctional it is. Not only is it dysfunctional, it's set up to be dysfunctional, and it's set up so that those who are part of the system are always the ones who are recycled and put in control. The beauty about the Trump presidency is we may see an end to that. We may see a breaking of that cycle. We may see some entirely new blood injected into the US political system. Indeed, we've seen that now with the very president who's been elected, who has no political history whatsoever. And that's a very, very interesting situation to be in. So get the popcorn, folks, and hold on to your hat, because you ain't seen nothing yet. We're in for a real sideshow with this presidency, I think, and it's going to be anybody's guess as to where we're going to go. One thing that this election should have done, and that I hope this election has done for all the people out there who've been fans of this show, all the people out there who are awake and who know what's going on in the world, one thing this has done is it should have inspired you with the confidence to know that nothing is set in stone. No matter how bad you think things are, and no matter how much you believe that the powers that believe they be have control, they really don't. It's really a house of cards that could go any way at any direction, and that change can come at any minute. It can come right out of left field. You just have to have the confidence to know that. And don't get locked into the fear. Don't believe that all is lost and that there is this terrible world that's going to come down on us, because nothing is set in stone. A lot of what the ruling hand does is designed to make us believe that they are all powerful, but it simply isn't true. The real power lies with the people. But that is it for me, folks. We've reached the end of the show, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you to anybody who has ever supported the Crow House. Thank you to all those people who support the Patreon account. I really cannot thank you enough. God bless you all. You are all that is keeping me going. And I will look forward to coming back and speaking to you all again next week. Please take very good care until then. In La Keshe, my friends. In La Keshe.